There is a new musical comedy for kids called Lyle Lyle Crocodile. You may have heard of it because it's based on a very popular series of children's books by Bernard Weber. And the first book is called The House on East 88th Street. The second book is actually called Lyle Lyle Crocodile, but I think they decided to use that name because it would be easier to sell.
Mm.
It tells the story of Lyle the Crocodile. He is a crocodile in New York City who cannot speak but can sing, and he sounds a lot like Shawn Mendes. A family moves into a brownstone. They discover the crocodile in the attic. They have a little son who's a little afraid of things, unsure of himself, and of course, this crocodile brings new meaning to his life and opens him up in ways he didn't imagine.
That sounds wrong. This movie is a thing that is out there.
This movie is a thing that exists.
Yes.
It isn't terrible. We've definitely seen worse. But it feels like something that was rushed, badly thought out, and a shameless cash grab based on the idea that if we have Shawn Mendes voicing a singing crocodile, we may be able to sell a movie.
Mm.
Unfortunately, it really isn't enough. So the movie stars Javier Bardem as this raconteur, magician, singer who's trying to make it in New York City. And he keeps pulling these tricks and none of them seem to work until he stumbles upon the singing crocodile. But the singing crocodile, who sings really well, has stage fright and can't perform in front of an audience. So that is the problem. So he leaves this crocodile in this brownstone while he goes off to make some money because he owes money to a lot of people. A family moves into this brownstone. You've got the Prim family. Constance Wu is Mrs. Prim. Winslow Fegley as Josh Prim, and Scoot McNairy as Mr. Prim. There's a lot that's happening in this movie that they try to cram in because on the one hand, it feels like they're trying to use the story of Lyle to somehow fix this family that might be disconnected in some way. Only the family isn't broken enough.
I mean, the problem is the family isn't broken. They are potentially on the... I wouldn't even say they're on the verge of it. Yeah, there's an inclination for her to be a little bit of a health freak. So she cooks tofu stuff and everybody's just like, haha, this looks healthy. None of it feels dramatic. You know, I just thought of this. They were trying to do Mary Poppins with a crocodile. Except there isn't really anything to fix here, like you said.
But here's the thing. We've seen these sorts of movies, and we've seen dozens of these movies growing up. Mm. Mary Poppins, Stuart Little, Beethoven. There are so many movies that use this same formula. But what Lyle Lyle Crocodile fails to do is pick one story and run with it. Instead, it tries to do four different stories. It tries to fix Constance Wu's Mrs. Prim. It tries to fix Mr. Prim's problems at school and his connection with his family. There's this idea that Josh is somehow uncertain of himself. And in most other movies, it would take the entire runtime of 90 minutes for him to discover this newfound freedom, right? And how he is a confident young boy. In this movie, it happens in about 30 seconds. He meets the crocodile and suddenly he can walk to school by himself in New York City.
The next fucking day. It's not even a montage.
There isn't even a montage sequence.
No, dude. No. And look, on top of all that, they also try and fix Lyle Lyle Crocodile. Or Lyle the Crocodile. And his relationship with Javier Bardem. Like, there's a lot going on here. And all of it doesn't work. It's not a bad movie. It's just completely pointless.
It's half-baked is what it is. Someone bought the rights and went, we need to fill up 106 minutes. And here's how we do it. There's no real villain of the piece. they don't even use, they don't even pop track the damn thing. They set it up,
yeah,
but they don't even do it. When Javier Bardem's Hector leaves Lyle, he leaves him a Walkman with headphones. And for 18 months, all Lyle is doing is listening to this music. And if he can't communicate using words, then you would think, like fucking Bumblebee in Transformers, he will communicate by way of song.
Yeah.
And they don't even use popular pop tracks. They use some original music that you don't know. And so none of it actually hits home in any way.
There's a lot here that falls flat, which is, I hate to say it, which is unfortunate, because this could really have been the beginning of a potential trilogy of films, right? Like, this is, Beethoven's a perfect example, right? The story of this damn dog that's got four movies, I think they made of, you know?
I think they made some direct-to-TV, direct-to-video type
things. I'm sure they did, yeah. So, like, this is perfect for that. You've got Javier Bardem, you've got Constance Wu, you've got the great underutilized Scoot McNairy, who I love.
He's fantastic.
He's fantastic in everything, right? And none of it happens. None of it works, you know? Even in story time, when Constance Wu, this mother, finds a singing crocodile in her house, it takes her the time to bake a cake for her to be okay with it. I'm just like, I don't, you know, you kind of need to do a little bit more. That is kind of the big problem with this. It glosses over too much. And I'm sure we're making a meal out of this. It feels like it's for the 7-year-old, the 8-year-old.
I disagree. I don't think so, because...
Oh, no, no. That's my point. I think people might listen to this and go like, you're making a mountain out of a molehill that is Lyle Lyle Crocodile. But I think I disagree, because this film cost a lot of money to make.
But not only that, the books actually are very good and they speak to children as well. We've seen a lot of children's movies that target younger audiences that are incredibly clever and well-made and don't dumb things down. And going back to the movies that we grew up watching, the Mary Poppins and the Stuart Littles and the Beethovens, they don't dumb things down. Mm. This movie makes the mistake of thinking that a CGI crocodile who sings is enough. Because kids are just going to see that and go, hey, cute crocodile, they sing.
And who happens to sound like Shawn Mendes, who is, I guess he's pop. But he's not even that popular, is he? Is he?
I think he might be.
No, I know, but he's not like breakout, you know, Justin Bieber popular. You know what I mean? Like, he's fine, but that just doesn't seem to be enough in this.
The other problem with this movie is that it just doesn't lean into the ridiculous enough. Because I think when you have a film with a fucking singing crocodile, you gotta go nuts with it. This one... Mm. Isn't sure whether they want to keep it real, whether they want to be restrained. They're not sure what they want to do with it.
Yeah.
And the one thing they don't do is lean into the ridiculous and go nuts. I mean, crocodile who sings, who ends up on a reality TV show. Come on, go crazy. Yeah. In the middle of New York fucking city, right?
You know who would have been great to direct this? Fucking Baz Luhrmann would have been awesome to make this.
Oh, that would have been a completely different movie, and I would have loved it.
That's my point, right? Like, if he pulled like a Moulin Rouge on this with the weird sort of green juice tripping stuff, like, you kind of have to go out there, because this is a story about a singing crocodile.
Back in the 1980s, there was a HBO animated special.
Okay.
For Lyle Lyle Crocodile. It was called Lyle Lyle Crocodile the Musical. I'm not sure if it's still on HBO, but I want to go look it up because I want to see how they did it.
Hmm.
Over here as well, I mean, it's not a big thing, but I thought the CGI was a little janky. It had moments when it just didn't work because the crocodile needs to be cute.
Yeah.
It's the only way you can get past the fact that it's a crocodile in a brownstone in New York City.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the CGI, it felt like the lighting was different on the character than the rest of the cast. And that's always incredibly jarring.
I will say they did do well enough with some of the CGI. I think they, when they take Lyle outdoors, it's, you know, it's always at night. There's like harsh lighting anyway, you know. when Lyle's at home in the house, it's daytime, but it's all soft lighting. So there's a really sort of careful play of the way these shots were designed. And I thought that was fine. But it's in no way memorable or special. I'll be honest, I don't know how it's grossed almost $80 million worldwide.
I think there was nothing else for parents to take their children to watch, lah.
I mean, to be fair, you're right, because it was released in October.
I think that's the only reason. I think parents needed some kind of outlet, and this was there.
Mm.
I feel like it was just such a waste. If you are a parent taking your kids to watch this in the cinema, there is nothing here for you. So your very young kids may be entertained for 106 minutes. And I mean very young kids, because if they're over the age of 5 or 6, they're smart enough to know that this is garbage. But for you, there is nothing. This is not even remotely close to Paddington, which might be the greatest movie ever made. But if you want to adapt a children's book, that's what you look at. Paddington and Paddington 2. I don't think we can recommend this movie, but if you are desperate and need to entertain your children in the cinema for a short period of time, then maybe.
I guess.
Otherwise, I'd wait for it to hit Netflix or something.
I
think Sony's got a deal with Netflix, if I'm not mistaken. Really? Yeah. Yeah,
this feels like an HBO thing.
It's also the only time we ever see Sony products on screen. La. Like, oh, look, someone's using a Sony Walkman.
Yeah.
Placement. Sure,
Sony.
If you do happen to watch it, let us know what you think. You know how to reach out. All of our social media feeds are GogglerMY. You can also WhatsApp us on the Goggler hotline, 012-524-5208, or drop us an email on podcast@goggler.my. Thank you so much for listening. This is the Goggler Podcast.